Hello, welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode number 9. I'm Manuel Lemos, the regular host. As usual, I have here with me Hernani Joppert. Hello, Hernani. How are you doing?
Hello, Manuel. Glad to be here. I'm doing great.
And today we have a special episode because we are interviewing the Innovation Award winner 2010, Rochak Chauhan. Hello, Rochak. How are you doing?
Hi, Rochak. I'm fine. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
I hope I have pronounced your name correctly. I'm not sure how to spell your surname, but
it's Chauhan, Rochak Chauhan.
Chauhan?
It's okay. Yeah, Chauhan.
I could never guess it. Okay, anyway, just a brief introduction about why we are interviewing you. As I mentioned, you were the 2010 winner of the PHP Programming Innovation Award. This award is organized by the PHP Classes site since 2004. And since about a few years ago, the site start compiling annual rankings, and basically every month there are a few classes that are nominated, and then the users vote, and the winner of the vote gets some points, and adding all the points accumulated in each year, we get to a winner, and this year Rochak was the winner of the annual Innovation Award. So congratulations, Rochak.
Thank you very much.
As prize for this award, Rochak is getting a nice elephant. As you all know, the elephant is the symbol of PHP, and he is getting an elephant plush toy. And as I already commented with Rochak, his prize is in the mail, and he is going to get it in a few weeks.
Yeah, well, I have to say that your participation in the site has been outstanding, not just in the last year. So for those that have not yet checked Rochak participation, so far he has submitted 44 packages, classes that perform all sorts of functionality useful to PHP developers, and 12 of them were nominated to the Innovation Award throughout these years on which Rochak has been participating. And actually, in the last year, 6 packages that Rochak submitted were nominated. And throughout all these years, Rochak has won the monthly awards 3 times. This is quite an impressive record. Rochak, can you just comment a bit, not about all, but at least the last packages that you submitted that were nominated on this award, sure. What they do?
Sure, sure. First of all, the pleasure is all mine. Like, what I do is I get immense pleasure out of it. Like, I just want to share things with people. Now, about this classes we did, like, there was one of them was Twitter posting. If you remember, Twitter changed their API. So using their username password, you were not supposed to update your status now without the authentication.
Right.
So I tried to find a way out using open source classes, Open Inviter. I use their class to log in and then use the same method to update the status. So it worked. So this was a small task one of my clients asked me to do. And so I wanted to share it with everybody.
Right?
It was workaround. It's not illegal, of course, but it's we're using the username password from the user and using posting via curl to the Twitter website without using the authentication. That's all.
Yeah, but is this something that Twitter approves, or Is this a less known API that you used?
Well, it's there's another package called OpenInviter. What it does, it's open source code. It takes your username password. It's log into the website using curl. So I use that. I had to be not to taking any credit from them. I use the authentication, the login process from that.
Right.
Only thing I added was to a method to update the status, because the main purpose of OpenInviter is to use the authentication and get the contacts.
Right. And it seems it solved the problem that many people that all of a sudden were had their Twitter-based applications broken because they could not add OAuth support easily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that takes huge coding from both sides. You have to create an application on Twitter and then use the same code on the website. It was tedious. So this one helped a lot, and many of my clients thanked me personally also. So that was a nice feeling. That's again, that's one of the things which keeps you motivated, right?
Right. And what about the other nominated classes last year?
Another one was, again, similar. Like one was your Facebook, again, similar thing I use on Facebook. And then another one was PHP duplicate file finders. Now, right. Again, this is a very common problem with every developer we have. We make updates, we save the backup, and then after end, we have lots of duplicate files.
Oh,
that
yeah.
could be an image file or PHP.
Yes.
So I use basically an MD5 checksum to find the duplicate file names.
Yeah, I remember you actually commented about it in the previous podcast, actually in the month when it was announced as one of the winners. And there was six, right? You comment three or two so far?
It was again. What it basically did was, like, if you rename the file, like if say abc.php, and I can save it as xyz.php, but the content is same. So
yeah.
It basically finds not the name but the content.
And yes.
So
that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And what about the other classes?
Other was another one was PHP search MySQL tables. So there something like you have grep in Linux, you can search file then file contents. But there was many, and on automatic, you need to find out from the table, the fields, where exactly this value is coming from, or where exactly this label is coming from. So I use this class to do that. It search from the text field, it finds search from the label of all the databases.
Yeah, it's a sort of brute force solution to search the whole database, right?
Right, right. Something like grep for MySQL.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. And then there was a text spinner, which was more like a tool for SEO. Like, you know, if I write an article and it has, say, 1,000 words, if I post it again, so it won't count as a different article. So this basically text spinner changes, you know, synonyms with each other.
Oh, I see. I remember. You also commented that.
Yeah.
Do you think Google would consider that legal? Because it sort of works around their methods to find duplicate content.
You can use it at Denman also. Like, if I want to write multiple articles and I don't want to change it, like something like I'm going there, I can say that he went there, so you can change it. And I have an online demo also for that. It's not always illegal. You can use it for legal purposes also.
Yeah.
If I want to write different.
Well when I said legal, I didn't mean in terms of law. I mean in the sense of Google determines how.
Right,
pages
right.
may rank or not, either being duplicated or not. Okay.
Sure.
What about
is again to add it, spinner can also be used for like multiple emails. If you want to send multiple emails, you can change the subject and the content of the body without changing the actual meaning. But again, that's one thing.
Okay.
And then there was a compare strings. It's compare string is more or less like your Levenstein function we have in PHP. It used to compare strings and how much they are related.
Yeah.
Compare strings. So again, it was most of them then. And then there was PHP MD5 decryptor. This was highly, I could say, illegal. It was getting from a website which now have a CAPTCHA. So this is not working at the moment now. But it's it uses the MD5 checksum and then
dictionaries.
Decrypted.
Yeah, to check existing dictionaries to.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe that they added the capture because of your class, because many people were using it.
Yeah. I think I'll that's one.
Okay, this is a quite an interesting collection of innovative classes, and I'm sure that many users of the site have appreciated them. And what I was going to ask you next regarding all these great contributions is what exactly motivates you to write so many innovative classes?
It's number one is like how I write it basically when I face some problem, like one of my developers some face problem, like this cannot be done. So this give me cannot be done is like thing like I don't like that to be said. So I have to have find, you can use some API or you can save some mashup, but it obviously is going to be done. So once I accomplished something, I just want to share it with everybody. Like you can say for testing also, for getting the commands, and best part to share. That's for the whole purpose of open sources. So that's what keeps me motivating.
Yeah, so we could say that your inspiration to contribute innovative classes is the challenges that you get from people telling you that it can't be done, or is also things like needs from your work.
It's both like once some clients comes up with a specification that is very difficult, like I'm not sure if it can be done. First of all, I make it accomplished somehow using some API or mashup, and then it's again you want it to be recognize also, so I just use this PHP classes as a platform to share it with other developers and get their comments and feedback.
Yeah. So I imagine that all these classes, all that certainly were downloaded, used by many people, get you great exposure. Did you get better work opportunities, jobs, just because you published all these classes?
Of course, that it is a very, very helpful thing. Like many people are coming back to me, like I use your class. It's a nice class. Now I want to implement it on my project or something, and they offer me as a job. So it's in helping me as a professional services. It's a big, big, big boost.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I imagined, because it's quite a lot of great classes that you developed, and you probably have many people asking you for further support on them.
Of course.
Okay, what would you say to motivate other PHP developers participating in PHP classes site to also get recognition and better opportunities like you have been getting?
I guess my first point would be like whatever new they get information, like if they find out some new class, some new function, or some method to do something, it's better to contribute to the like back to the society, back to the developer society, and share it. So that way they're doing us themselves a favor by getting the feedback, getting the like recognition, and then you can always share them. In return, you also get some return. Like I've also learned lots of new things from these PHP classes. It's something like you have your online repository. So you contribute to them and you get it everything. Best part, it's all free.
Right. And I can see that you somehow have been also inspired by others, by the work of others, and it's great to see that with so many classes. I hope that you are also inspiring others to to also contribute with more great classes. Hernani, I wonder if you have any other thing interesting to ask to Rashak?
Yes, I have two questions. One is if you have had any problems submitting packages that you have written for other tasks. If you have find that people that you work with are afraid of sharing their code, and if you feel that this is a common difficulty. And the other question is as you've had the opportunity to share this the classes that you provided, and if you would be to inspire others that are listening here, what would be your final words? I mean, to inspire people to contribute and at least get some exposure and get some other material from the sponsors and everything else.
Of course, of course. So the answer to your first question is, I don't think I face any problem in regarding that. If somebody is very reserved in sharing their code, so I would like to tell them that it's something like knowledge. You share knowledge, it grows. If I'm writing some code, I'm writing a class, I might be doing something wrong. Maybe there must be some better way to do it. Now, if I share it with people, you get in feedback, people will tell you that I've got lots of things to learn like this. So the constructive feedback you get is the best thing for you to learn as a developer, as a knowledge. So you share and you learn more.
Oh, yes.
The answer to the second question is, again, I would like to tell them, if I can inspire, that's great. But I would like to tell every developer that whatever they learn, share it with other people. It's not only will it give you confidence, but it'll give other people they'll give you feedback and you learn in the longer run.
Right.
Very good. Very good. Thanks, Roshak.
Okay. Basically, this interview is practically ended. I just wanted to ask you, Roshak, is there anything else you'd like to say regarding this award that besides what I have asked you?
Mm-hmm. I guess I only have praise for this award. This is a very, very innovative in a way, because this not only gives you recognition, but it gives you something. Where PHP is heading out. It's have lots of innovative things which people don't imagine what PHP can also do, like face recognition, and we have this AI things going on, and it's amazing stuff. So it just shows the potential of PHP, not only as a scripting, but as an enterprise level solution or maybe application. It's really great.
Right. Well, we are glad that you are enjoying it, and I hope you can continue contributing with more innovative packages.
We'll do that. My pleasure. We'll do that.
Well, thank you again for this interview. Now moving on to a next section of this podcast, I would like to bring up a topic, a comment that some comments that were posted in the latest Tayobe ranking system. For those not familiar with this system, it's basically a way to evaluate, because I'm not sure about the accuracy of the conclusions that we can get. But this Tayobe ranking evaluates the popularity of languages. Mm-hmm. And the latest rankings, I would say, for the last 6 months, they sort of show that PHP popularity is dropping in favor of languages like Python and Ruby. And did you guys see those charts and the comments they have produced there?
I did. Let me just add on to that, because I think this is you can say it's momentarily Python is rising due to Django and other frameworks coming up, but that doesn't mean PHP has losing any popularity. Again, it's in my opinion, because PHP has lots of support. Like, we have lots of frameworks, CMS support, and best of all, APIs. Even like Google, Facebook, everybody is giving PHP code and APIs. So I don't think the rising of Python we need to worry about. As a PHP developer, I'm not even worried about this losing the popularity. Because PHP is, I guess, closing the gap between scripting and enterprise level solution for an application. Like Odesk and Facebook has proved that PHP can be used for an enterprise level application also. So I think rise of Python, hash, C hash, it's momentarily, it's just a momentary. I'm not worried about that.
Right. I think it would be important to understand this ranking, how it works. From what I could gather, looking at their explanations of how they reach to the the numbers of popularity of languages, it seems that they go on the search engines and search for things like the name of the language and the programming. Mm-hmm. For instance, if they want to evaluate the popularity of PHP, they search for PHP programming. And then from the results, they evaluate, I think, the first results and see the popularity of the sites that come up in the Alexa site, which is basically a site that shows statistics of traffic. And I think it's more complicated than this. I'm trying to simplify it just to so you have an idea. But the way I see it, people searching for PHP programming does not mean that it's every PHP developer. So whatever whatever these numbers show, it seems to me, if I interpreting this right, the fact that the number of people searching for Python or Ruby or whatever is increasing does not mean that the number of people using other languages, PHP or whatever, is decreasing, is happening. For instance, if you already know PHP, you won't be searching.
You don't need to search.
Search for PHP programming, and it's a bit hard. And other than that, you already mentioned that Python is probably becoming more popular because of frameworks like Django, and Ruby becoming more popular because of Ruby on Rails. But namely Python, I think there may be a different point of view to justify its popularity, and that could be related to the fact that there are lots of developers that dream to work at Google, and since Google only works on a few with a few languages like Python and Java, C++ and C, obviously many of them hope to learn Python to someday fulfill that dream of working at Google. Obviously, one thing may never lead to the other, but at least they can hope, and that justifies the increase of popularity. And namely, since the launch of the App Engine, that for those that do not know, App Engine is the cloud computing solution provided by Google, and one of the project leaders is precisely Guido von Rossum, which is the Python creator and I suppose lead developer, if there is such role. And all this, I suppose it influences developers to become interested in Python. But that does not mean that the increase of Python is fully justified, fully justifies the decrease in PHP. Because just like we think about Google, you can also think about Facebook, which is a very large site and employs hundreds of, I don't know if you can say thousands, but at least hundreds is fair to say that it's the probable number of engineers that they have there working with PHP. So I don't think that could justify any drop. There may be other reasons that may not be obvious for this ranking to suggest that there is an increase of popularity in PHP, in Python and Ruby at the expense of decreasing popularity of PHP. And as I mentioned before, I do not think that the way they compute these rankings really reflects the real popularity. And this is just to say that this is not a number that should be taken seriously. One aspect that I noticed is if you go there and you notice that, for instance, forgetting all this eventual dispute between scripting language, PHP, Python, Ruby, and whatever, if you notice JavaScript, which is used by practically all web developers, it's nowhere near as popular as any other scripting language. So something is very wrong in this chart, or at least whatever it suggests, or probably the algorithm that they are using. And if we all know that every web developer knows JavaScript and uses it, regardless of what is the main language that they use, so I think there is something very wrong in the way they compute this.
And there is nowhere they publicly explain how do they find this.
Actually that is there. That's what I was explaining before. They are performing searches for name of the language followed by programming. Search it on Google and then take the first results in the evaluated traffic of the top sites in the Alexa site ranking, and then they perform some calculations. This is roughly how I understood it works, and I'm not sure how can people take this seriously. And if that can be taken seriously, how do they justify that JavaScript is not even more popular that I think it should be than any web scripting language?
In my understanding, what I think is it means people are looking for Python sites more, Python code more.
Right.
That basically means JavaScript, and for PHP, they have already bookmarked it. They already have decided sites. So in terms of SEO, our, you can say, bounce rate is very less. So that means people don't want to go to look for PHP. They already know. Like, suppose I want to look for PHP code. I know PHP Plus is there. But JavaScript people go to jQuery and Dojo. So they don't need to search. But in terms of C# and Python, people need to look for the repository, the forums. So that's what exactly it means.
Right.
My understanding, yeah.
It's all to say that there is no serious conclusion you can take from this ranking. And for those people that I see commenting, they were sort of alarmed that that PHP was no longer as interesting as in the past. I think it's a kind of a silly conclusion. And another comment that I'd like to make is that, in my opinion, the greatest popularity of PHP comes from its killer applications. And by killer applications, I mean applications like WordPress, Drupal, Joomla, and many other ready-to-use applications that make PHP very popular. And they have their own ecosystem and their communities sometimes are quite, I wouldn't say closed, but I say they work pretty much all the time with just themselves. For instance, the WordPress community works almost all the time with WordPress. They probably could not care much about general PHP programming outside of the WordPress platform. So this is something that should give the creators of the Tayobi ranking a lot to think about if they really intend to have their rankings be taken seriously. And by the way, talking about WordPress, WordPress 3.1, I think, it was just released. And by coincidence, or maybe not, it was named, the code name of this release was Django. And when people, I saw comments of people assuming just because
they thought
just because the release was named Django, it was related to Python. For those not familiar with Django, Django is a very popular Python platform framework. And in reality, this Django code name was inspired by the author of WordPress. Mm-hmm. I mean, the creator of WordPress, Matt Mullenweg, is a big fan of jazz music, and there is a jazz musician named Django. I forgot his last name, but that's where the Django name came from. And okay. I don't know if Matt named this release Django on purpose, just to make a joke. Actually, I met Matt Mullenweg in 2008. Actually, we mm-hmm. invited him to come to a free software event here in Brazil. And I met him personally, and I know very well that he likes to make jokes. He's a very nice person, and he's always happy with his life, and he likes to make jokes. So I wouldn't be surprised if naming this WordPress release Django was to just to make fun of whoever could suppose that it could be related with Python. And obviously it doesn't. It's just somebody could be suggested it there is some relation. And basically that's all we have to say about this Tyobi ranking. And if anybody was concerned that PHP would be really losing popularity in favor of Python and Ruby, personally, I don't believe it, but I'm sure that those mm-hmm. languages, Python, Ruby, are increasing their popularity, which is normal for the reasons that we've discussed before.
Yeah, just one point on the subject. It was a very very smart comment on the idea that. Most of the people are familiarized already with PHP, so they have their go-to places. And by having this Ruby and Python interested, and there are also new developers coming forward, and Ruby is a very, let's put it this way, academic language because of the concepts or object-oriented and stuff. So it could be that people are also trying to follow that approach. And with Ruby being very, very tend to be used in startups, it could be that this is the reason it's ranking up. But PHP world has a lot of other technologies on top, as Manuel explained. But I guess that your clarification on the TOB ranking, it's pretty much... what I think it is as well. It means that people are searching more for Ruby content or Python content than PHP, because PHP it has a mature state already. So that's my thoughts on that.
Right. Okay, I'm sure other people will have also their theories, opinions to justify these rankings. And for those that are listening, feel free to post your comments to give your opinions about this. But moving on with our podcast now towards the end, we are going to comment about the latest classes that were nominated for the Innovation Award in December 2010, and they were voted in January, and in February came out the results of those that were more voted. Rochak, in your opinion, which classes would you like to comment you think are more worth mentioning?
I think that two of them are the first and the top one. First one was the Tic-Tac-Toe by Amin Saidi. It was, I really like this how he took up the simple game, used this alpha beta search algorithm. That was the best part. I guess this is one step closer to, like I was saying, PHP moving to AI. That's
right.
One of the implementations he can use, he can demonstrate using the simple game. And you can always use this algorithm to make a complex game like chess, or maybe Scribble in pure PHP. That's, again, a good start.
Right.
The second one I really liked was it has really, really good implementation is the TWZ cron chart. I have myself this issue. Like, I've been looking to cron chart. It has lots of text, but to present that in a Gantt chart, it's a very good idea. So the visual impact, it's very easy to find out which cron is running and when it's in a graphical form. I think this is a very exceptional attempt, very innovative and very exceptional, very useful.
Right. Right, as you mentioned, this tic-tac-toe class, which is using the alpha beta search algorithm, it shows that developers like Amin Saidi from Iran are demonstrating that there are many developers that have advanced knowledge on advanced topics like artificial intelligence, as you mentioned. And not only that, but it should also be inspiring to other developers.
Absolutely.
Also come with their own artificial intelligence solutions in PHP, because as it just demonstrates that not only it's possible, but it can be useful. In this case, it's just a simple game, tic-tac-toe, but could be something else more serious, not just a game. Although, it doesn't mean that games cannot be serious. And as you mentioned, the other class, TWZ cron chart, just shows a nice effect that you can do with... with data from cron tab files that define basically the schedule of when certain tasks should be executed. And using a Gantt chart, you can get a pretty good idea, a visual representation of where when those tasks should happen. And I think it's quite useful. And but other than that, any other classes that you would like to mention?
Oh yes, I have two picks. One would be the proxy connector from Scaman in Italy, and basically is used to retrieve remote or web pages under the Tor network. And sometimes you have the need for that, and it's very innovative. So I would give him my congratulations.
Probably it would be interesting if you could explain what is the Tor network for those that are not familiar.
Yeah, the Tor network is it's pretty much a peer-to-peer network, which is encrypted, and it's based on hopping architecture. So you have one entrance, one point of entry, and it's pretty much randomized the way you reach your ended target. So let's say if you're browsing through the web, you are pretty much anonymous because of the amount of hops that you do when you're requesting a web page. It pretty much can go 10 times around the world and reach the point of entry, which is, let's say, near of your house. But you went a long way to get back to the reaching point that you wanted. So it's good for anonymity, and it's also good because there are the needs for whistleblowers, as WikiLeaks have proven. So sometimes you have to extract information and you don't want to be identified for some reason. And the usage of this class is very clever. And it's very innovative, so that's why I would give my vote for them. And the other one would also be the Gantt chart, because sometimes a picture, it's worth more than 1,000 words. So it's very nice to know that Tony from Australia has come up with this idea and proven that visually representing some information, it's what it needs. And I guess most of the PHP classes users would be using this sooner or later, at least for documentation purposes and to visually represent some batch operations that are ran on those servers.
Right. Well, for me, I also like to comment a couple of classes. One is this search by relevance by Carlson Soares from Brazil. What basically it does is to implement a sort of sorting algorithm. And what it does is basically have a result, have a series of results, and analyzes the keywords that are using those results and sorts them according an algorithm and relevance. And this could be useful for many purposes of finding what is more relevant in a set of information that could be retrieved, for instance, from MySQL databases. And the other class that I would like to comment just briefly, because I'm not an expert, but I think it is interesting, is this Allow HTML by Simon Emery from England. And what it does is to filter insecure HTML according to OWASP anti-SAMI rules. For those not familiar, OWASP is an organization that is focused on promoting the security implementation of security norms, rules, practices in general that will help making applications more secure and eventually more immune to abuses and all sorts of security attacks. And this is basically the two classes that I'd like to mention. And now, practically ending this podcast, just a final section, since we have a guest, Rorschach. When we have a guest, we usually ask, in your case, because you are a PHP classes site user, to comment about one good thing and another bad or not so good thing about PHP classes site that you think it would be worth commenting.
Sure. One thing I really like is the indexing, the way you have sorted down in the categories and subcategories. It makes life of a developer very, very easy. I really love this indexing. That's number one. And okay. Then one thing I would like you to add, one thing you can improve is have some section like where people can post which class, which package they're looking for. Something like a wish list you have in shopping cart. So
right.
If that is there, it will make it very, very
yes, active, that's it. That's effective. Actually, that is the one thing that is in my wish list for many years. And unfortunately, I was not able to get it sufficient priority to actually implement it. There are many things that could be done to improve the site, and I never stop. Once I implement something, I move on to the next. I understand that is an idea that would be interesting, because it would also be helpful for developers looking for ideas to implement innovative classes. And one thing will sort of marry with the other, the need for a solution for a problem that was not yet solved, and the search of developers that are interested in developing innovative classes to get there. So just so you be sort of happy with this. I'm sure I will implement it sooner or later. I just don't know when, but sooner or later I'll get to there, as every other thing that people have been asking over the years, and I ended up implementing. it just did not turn, did not come the turn of that idea, but it's actually in my wish list for many years already. Okay, I think we have reached the end of our podcast. Rorschach, I would like to thank you for your presence and also your participation in PHP Classes site. I hope you can continue to submit more innovative classes. And
after that,
and
pleasure is all mine, like I said. Great.
Okay, and I think for me that's all, Hernani.
Yes, I would like to thank Rorschach for participating here, also for contributing and to give his overviews. It was a very clever interview, and it's nice to see that we are coming to a global world where it doesn't matter where you're from, it just matter your interest level, your intentions to contribute, and your intentions to learn. And this expressed most of our character. And that's what we want to have in IT world, because we want to have people with hungry minds to learn, with potential to provide good solutions, creative solutions, and as well have a good community, a community of people everywhere in the world with different cultures. So I would like to express that. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And I'd like to listen more feedbacks from the community here.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's all for now. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.